Welcome to the Sunday Monday Show, a podcast about being bold in faith, work, and life. I'm your host, Jane Kennedy. Let's get down to business. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sunday Monday Show. Jane here. And today I am recording this in the sunshine in my parents' backyard in California. So if you hear lawnmowers / leaf blowers, I don't know how it's always, there's always something going on. It's very noisy around here, but it's very nice to be outside in the sun and to be home with my family. We are celebrating my grandpa's 85th birthday this weekend and throwing a big party, and my cousins are coming. And so, yeah, it's just been very sweet to be back home this week. And I'm happy to be back on the podcast. Today, I want to talk about something that is taking the Catholic world by storm this Lent. It feels like it is the Lent of the Surrender Novena. And for good reason, right? Hallow is doing their entire Lenten series on the Surrender Novena and on surrender. I feel like a lot of my friends have discovered this novena and have started to pray it. And so, I've been thinking a lot about it recently. If you have not been exposed to the Surrender Novena, it is a prayer that was given by the Lord to Father Duolindo Rotolo. And it's 9 days of prayer, so it's a novena. And each day is focused on helping the people who are praying it to surrender different parts of their hearts and their lives to the Lord. It's a beautiful prayer to pray, especially if you're struggling with anxiety or worry, or if there's something that you desperately desire that isn't showing up, or you're trying to grow in deeper trust. It's just an amazing prayer, and it's very fruitful. I've been a devotee of this prayer for a few years. My spiritual director gave it to me back in 2020 in the midst of COVID. And there have been months of my life where I just pray this prayer on repeat. I'll get to day 9 and then the next day start over at day 1, because it seems like there is just, there's always something to surrender, and there's always something to give to the Lord. And there are always places of my heart where I'm striving for control. And so I'm not surprised that this prayer is spreading like wildfire. But this week, I really wanted to think about why. Like, why is it that we are struggling so much as a culture, as a society, as people of all ages, in all states of life? Like, why are we struggling with surrender? And what came to mind in prayer is that many of us struggle with what I think are the three biggest enemies of surrender. And so today, what I want to talk about is those three enemies of surrender. What are they? Why are we struggling with them? What does the Lord say about them in Scripture? And then I want to reflect on different days of the Surrender Novena that respond to those enemies of surrender. So hopefully this is fruitful. And if you have been praying the Surrender Novena, this has been a great way for me to really understand, like, yes, there is a desire to surrender, but ultimately, if we're clinging on to these, you know, vices that prevent us from surrendering, it's going to be even harder. And if we can't name why it's hard for us to surrender things, then we are going to be stuck not being able to live in the trust and the joy and the peace that the Lord wants for us. And that that is the, you know, desire of praying the Surrender Novena. So the three enemies of surrender that I want to talk about today are perfectionism, activism, and control. And I was listening to a Poco a Poco podcast that was released a few months ago. I was re-listening to it last week. And they named these three things as places that hurt us in trust. And as I was praying through that, I was like, yeah, like perfectionism, activism, and control are the biggest stumbling blocks to surrender. Because ultimately, all three of those things are pulling things back into our power away from the Lord and what He wants to do in our lives. So the first one I want to talk about is perfectionism. I feel like I don't necessarily need to define perfectionism, but I think that it is a huge struggle in our culture for so many reasons. I think one, there is a lot of temptation to manage perception management. Like, what do other people think of you? Do people think that I'm smart and pretty and capable and competent and holy? And we just want to, I think, kind of cast this aura around ourselves that we are perfect, and that we have everything together, and we're never sad, and we're never struggling, and, you know, we never stumble. And I think that perfectionism is one of the biggest obstacles to peace, because the reality is that we're never perfect, and we never will be perfect. But that doesn't stop us from wanting to strive for that. And when I was thinking about the Scripture and where the Lord is kind of calling us out for our perfectionism, I go all the way back to the garden. You have Adam and Eve who want to be perfect, and they want to have perfect knowledge. And the serpent offers them the perfect knowledge of good and evil from the tree. And it's the one tree, of course, that God asked them not to eat from. And so here are Adam and Eve, surrounded by abundant gifts that the Lord has given them and so much goodness and beauty and paradise. But yet they still want more. And they want to reach that perfection, that perfect knowledge of good and evil. And so what happens? They eat from the tree and then they hide because they're experiencing shame. And the biggest thing that perfectionism does to us is it creates shame. Like if I don't pray my rosary perfectly, and if I don't go to mass every day perfectly, and if I don't do all these devotions perfectly, then I feel shame. And that leaves absolutely no space for grace, right? God comes to find them. He comes to seek them out and search them out, and they're hiding from him because they've run away because they feel shame that they're not perfect. And so our perfectionism ultimately is a rejection of the grace of God and a rejection of his mercy and a rejection of his goodness because we are ashamed that we haven't done enough and we can't do enough. And that's the reality, is that we can never be enough. We can never do enough. We can never earn our holiness or our sanctity. It's one of the reasons I love Saint Therese so much and why I think so many people are so drawn to her, is that she recognizes her littleness. And I think our culture creates so much pressure for us to be everything and to do it all perfectly and to do it all on our own. And Saint Therese talks about this little way and how little she is. And that's been really helpful for me, I think, in my own struggles against this temptation to perfectionism, is like, oh God, like I can't do anything without you. I can't do anything. I can try to do good. I can try to live virtuously, but I'm going to fall and fail over and over and over again. And it's only by the grace of God that I can have the hope that I can stand back up. And falling into perfectionism leads us to despair because we're not perfect. And as soon as we see we're not perfect, then everything comes crumbling down around us. So what does this have to do with surrender? If we are going to truly desire surrender, and if we want to surrender completely to God, we have to surrender our own visions of ourselves and our virtues and our gifts and our talents. We have to give it all to God. Ultimately, perfectionism leaves no space for God. It leaves no space for his grace. It leaves no space for his goodness and his mercy. And so in the Surrender Novena, we're being invited to surrender ourselves back to God and to surrender those parts of our lives back to him. And I think if I look at the Surrender Novena, I want to pray now that day two, or share the reflection of day two, because I think this is such a beautiful invitation to release perfectionism in our lives. The meditation says this: surrender to me does not mean to fret, to be upset, or to lose hope. Nor does it mean offering to me a worried prayer, asking me to follow you and change your worry into prayer. It is against this surrender, deeply against it, to worry, to be nervous, and to desire to think about the consequences of anything. It is like the confusion that children feel when they ask their mother to see to their needs, and then try to take care of those needs for themselves, so that their childlike efforts get in their mother's way. Surrender means to placidly close the eyes of the soul, to turn away from thoughts of tribulation, and to put yourself in my care, so that only I act, saying, you take care of it. I love this. This is one of my very favorite days of the Surrender Novena. And I just have this image of a little child being in the kitchen with their mother and saying, oh, I want to help cook. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then ultimately that child's getting in the way and like burning their hands on the stove and making a big mess in the kitchen. And so ultimately their mother is like, well, I was making food for you and I was taking care of you, but now I have to clean up this mess, or you have to clean up this mess, and you burnt your hand and caused all this other pain and agony and frustration because you just didn't trust that I wanted to take care of you. And ultimately what perfectionism is it's just that grasping for, I can do this my way and I can do it best. And if I perform and if I do everything I can, then I will earn whatever those things are that I'm praying for, whatever it is that I want. And the Lord is inviting us through the Surrender Novena and through deeper knowledge of him to release that pressure of perfectionism and to release that temptation that we have to be perfect because we're not perfect. And when we can release that expectation of ourselves, we're so much more free. And like this Surrender Novena says on this day, like to be childlike, to be a child who can have fun and who can rest in the knowledge that their parents are protecting them and providing for them and taking care of them. And so I think that perfectionism, as we can see, is a huge enemy to surrender. And if this is something you're struggling with, I really encourage you to look back on that day two of the Surrender Novena. And also to check out St. Therese's Story of a Soul. It's so beautiful, and it really has helped me a lot in realizing my own littleness and in how I can do absolutely nothing without God and without his grace, without his goodness. Okay, on to the second enemy or stumbling block of surrender, and that is activism. This is one, quite frankly, that I struggle with a ton, and that is the temptation to act, to jump into action, to get things done, to add more and more to our plates, and to try to do more so that we can be more, and so that we can feel like we are being active and getting things done and reaching for our goals and our dreams. And again, with all of these enemies, I'm not putting any blame on us for experiencing these. Like, we just live in a world that makes us feel like if we are not doing, if we are not accomplishing, if we are not winning, if we are not proving ourselves, then we are nothing. And our value comes from what we do, and not from who we are and from who God created us to be. When we get stuck in this loop of activism, we are ultimately saying, God, I don't trust that you want to provide for me. Instead, I'm going to drive myself crazy and whip myself into a frenzy by doing everything and by trying to make things happen for myself on my own. One of my good friends, Bridget, said something I think about often, which is that all sin is us grasping at something we don't trust that God will give us in his time. And I feel that way sometimes about activism too. It's like, okay, well, if I want this thing, then I need to go out and get it. I'm not saying to just be lazy. I think that there is a huge, vast chasm between being having a lot of activism and being lazy. I think that there is a very peaceful place that the Lord invites us to be, and he invites us into that through the surrender novena as well. When I think about scripture, I think about the wonderful story of Mary and Martha. As a quick recap, Jesus comes into the home of Mary and Martha, they're sisters, and they live together. And Jesus comes into their home, and Martha is so excited to have him. She loves him. He is a good teacher. And she's running around the home trying to get things ready. She's making food. She's cleaning. She's directing people to prepare things for him. Jesus is there. The Messiah is there. And she is so excited to have him. Meanwhile, her sister Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and just listening to him speak. And I think we can all understand Martha's frustration. She's like, girly pop, what are you doing? Why aren't you helping me? Jesus is here and we want him to feel welcome and to feel home. And you are sitting at his feet and doing nothing to help me. Can't you see that I am running around very busy with much serving? And the Lord looks at Martha and he says to her, he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. And this is so important for us because what Martha was doing was good. And oftentimes when we get caught up in activism, it is because we are doing a good thing. Maybe it is you are getting really involved in your church and you are leading small groups and you are serving on Sundays and you are doing all of these different projects and things, and you're just adding more and more and more to your plate because you want to grow in holiness, because you want to serve your parish. Maybe it is just signing up for things, signing up for too many things because you feel like you can offer something there. And those are good things. But if I go up a little bit more in this story, verse 40, we hear Martha was distracted with much serving. So this serving isn't something that's bringing her closer to the Lord. It's not, she's not necessarily doing things he's asking her to do. She's getting distracted. And for those of us who struggle with activism, it is so easy to get distracted and we get pulled away from what is ultimately God's invitation to us, which is to rest and to trust him and to know that his providence is there. I have so many stories in my life, even in just the past couple of months, of me, you know, striving for something and chasing something and trying to make something happen. And then as soon as I stop to catch my breath, the Lord has the space to move and to work there. He is always moving and he's always providing for us, but it's kind of like if you don't jump out of a plane and test the parachute, you'll never see it. And for so many of us, God is trying to provide and he's like knocking at the door of our hearts and wants to give us everything, but we are so distracted by serving and by doing things he hasn't asked us to do. And I struggle with this. I really do. And often I have to stop myself. It's usually once a month or so when I'm just so tired and I have to look around and say, God, like, what am I doing here that you didn't ask for me to do? And what have I added to my plate that you didn't invite me to? And it's really hard. It's really hard because I love to be involved and I love to be active and I love to do things that allow me to serve. But I don't ever want to be distracted. And I think that the surrender novena and this act of radical surrender is being able to say, God, like, I love you and I want to do things for you, but I only want to do the things that you are asking me to do. Please give me the wisdom and the grace and the courage to say no to the things that distract me from you and to say yes to the things that you are asking me to do. And that temptation is real. But I think that when we stop, or when I stop, and I let myself sit in the presence of the Lord, there are so many times that he says, only one thing is necessary, Jane. Like, just sit with me. Just be with me. Just let me love you. Stop running in circles and just let me provide for you. And so I know that for me, that's a huge obstacle to surrender in my own life. And the day of the surrender novena I want us to reflect on here is day 5, which quite frankly is the hardest day for me. And every time I get to day 5, I have to sit with the Lord, often for a very long time. It typically takes up my entire prayer time because I wrestle with him over this. I really wrestle over this prayer. And so I want to share it with you today. And maybe this is, I mean, a friend of mine the other day texted me and said this is her favorite day. And I immediately texted her, why? Like, why is this your favorite day? What am I missing? Because this day is so hard for me. But I'm going to pray it now. And maybe you'll hear it and be like, oh, that was easy. Or maybe you're like me. And so we can pray through it a little bit together once I finish the meditation. But this is day 5. And when I must lead you on a path different from the one you see, I will prepare you. I will carry you in my arms. I will let you find yourself like children who have fallen asleep in their mother's arms on the other bank of the river. What troubles you and hurts you immensely are your reason, your thoughts and worry, and your desire at all costs to deal with what afflicts you. Oof. Yeah. I think what's hard for me in this one, quite frankly, is that first line, when I must lead you on a path different from the one you see. Because as much as I want to surrender and as much as I want to give things to God, it is really hard to surrender that part. Like because there are things I see, there are things I desire, there are things I want. And I'm just like, oh Lord, like what are you asking me to do here? This feels so hard for me. But there is a very beautiful part of this that I do really much enjoy. And that's the part where he says, I will let you find yourself like children who have fallen asleep in their mother's arms on the other bank of the river. And so as much as I want to jump into action, as much as I want to do things and to show him how much I care and how much I love him, the Lord is often inviting us to just rest in his arms and let him act, like let him take the actions in our lives. And if we are constantly doing that ourselves, if we are always trying to provide for our own needs, he doesn't have the space to do that. And so we have to fall asleep in our mother's arms. We have to fall asleep and give it to him, give everything to him. Because he's right when he says, what troubles you and hurts you immensely are your reason, your thoughts and worry, and your desire at all costs to deal with what afflicts you. Maybe this week there's something that is on your head and on your heart and that is weighing heavy. And maybe this week the invitation is to, instead of jump into action, instead of trying to fix it, instead of trying to do a bunch of things or read books or pray novenas or whatever it is that tends to be your favorite form of activism, what if we all just surrendered those things back to God and said, God, this thing I want to act about. This thing I want to fix. This thing I want to jump into action and show you how much I care. Like, what if we all took those things this week and said, Lord, I'm going to fall asleep in my mother's arms and I will see you on the other side of the river. I am not going to worry. I'm not going to get anxious. I'm not going to jump into action. I'm going to trust that you want to provide for me here. And maybe that's the way that we fight against this enemy of surrender, is we give it to God and we actually give it to God. It's not a, I'm going to trust you to do this, but then in 2 days, I'm going to jump into action anyway. No. Let's give everything completely to him. And that's how we're going to be able to finally fight this enemy of activism. All right, the last obstacle to surrender I want to talk about today is control. Yeah, I feel like control is a pretty obvious arch enemy to surrender, because when we are fighting for control, we are absolutely not surrendering. The scripture I want to talk about here is from Luke, and it is the invitation to trust in God's fatherly providence. It's chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? I mean, this is, again, one of my favorite parts of scripture. I love the Gospel of Luke, but I especially love coming to this because It's the truth that God provides everything for us, and it is such a temptation to think that we have control over like anything, because we don't. We are so small and we are so little. And yes, we should strive to live virtuously. We should strive to do well. We should take care of the things we're given, whether that's our families or our work, or our faith or our communities or our friends. Like, yes, we should do our best. But ultimately, if we're striving for excellence and if we're striving to do God's will and to take the steps he's inviting us into, we can't worry about everything else because we don't have control. You know, we could die tomorrow. Everything can change and everything does change. And that's the whole experience of life, is that we might think that we have things figured out, but then things change. And the Lord is inviting us to surrender and to free ourselves from the heaviness and the burden of control and the heaviness and the burden of feeling like it's all up to us, because it's not. It really isn't. Last week, I saw a quote or a poem by Emily Dickinson, which I thought was so sweet. And I'm going to read it to you because it's very short. And in this poem, she says, "In this short life that lasts only an hour, how much, how little is within our power?" I thought that was so cute because it's true. Our lives are so short. And God has such good plans for us. And I think of all of the things that I was so worried about and so panicked about in my life, like all of the moments that I was so stressed and felt like I had to do all of these things to take care of myself. And God has shown me again and again that he is doing it and he will take care of it. And he's a good father and a good shepherd, and he's taking care of me. And I know that you could probably do that too. If you look back on your life and you look at those hard situations, those moments where you were stressed or frustrated, I'm sure you can look back and you can see him working and what he did. And there's so many things I wish I could go back and be like, girl, stop worrying. Like, you were so stressed. You were so overwhelmed by this thing. You were so worried and anxious. And God was always providing. And so that's an invitation for all of us as we think about surrender, is just to think about the freedom and the peace and the joy and the hope and the confidence that comes from trusting that God is always providing for us. And so the day of the surrender novena I want to share is day 6, which I think helps us if we're struggling with control. You are sleepless. You want to judge everything, direct everything, and see to everything. And you surrender to human strength, or worse, to men themselves, trusting in their intervention. This is what hinders my words and my views. Oh, how much I wish from you this surrender to help you, and how I suffer when I see you so agitated. Satan tries to do exactly this, to agitate you and to remove you from my protection and throw you into the jaws of human initiative. So trust only in me, rest in me, surrender to me in everything. I love this reflection, and it's so beautiful because it's true. How tempting is it to jump into the arms and into the jaws of human initiative and be like, I'm going to do this. Like, it brings everything together, right? The perfectionism of I have to prove this, the activism of I have to do this myself, and the control of it's all in my hands and it's all on me. And if we think about these three enemies of surrender, again, it's just a reminder of how heavy that is. And it's a burden we're not meant to carry. We're little children. We're so small. And God is a good father and he loves us. And so that's why I think the surrender novena is so attractive to us. It's because we are tempted by enemies of surrender, by actions and beliefs that put space between us and God and leave no space for his grace or his mercy or his love or his goodness or his providence. And so if you have never prayed the surrender novena, or if you pray it every single day, I hope that we all together can recognize the places that we struggle and can recognize why it's hard for us to surrender, so that not only can we pray for the grace of surrender, but we can also give over to God our perfectionism, our temptations to activism and control. If we can give him those things and then replace those parts of our hearts with a true and total surrender, I think we're going to find ourselves carried across the banks of the river in the arms of our mother, so deeply loved by him, so deeply cared for by him. And so please know of my prayers for you. Please pray for me. If you're doing the Hallow Surrender Lenten Challenge, I've been listening along to some of the days and it's really been beautiful. I'm so impressed by what they've been doing. And if you're looking for the Surrender Novena, I'll link it here. But I really invite all of us to enter into deeper and deeper levels of surrender, because that's the truth, is that this entire life, we will continue to learn how to surrender. And the best news is that it is not on us. And God is giving us every grace we need to trust him, every grace we need to love him. He has everything for us. And so please know of my prayers for you. Please pray for me. I pray that your Lent has been good and beautiful, and that we all can make the space for what God wants to do in our lives, because he has good plans for us. All right, that's it for today. Get back to work. I love you all. Bye. So much for joining us for another episode of the Sunday Monday Show. If you liked it, if you enjoyed it, if you learned something, we would be so appreciative if you shared it with a friend. Shoot it in a text, post it on social media, whatever you want to do. Sharing these episodes helps more people find them. And while you're doing that, if you could rate and review these episodes, that would also be so appreciated. If you're looking for more, you can follow us on Instagram at thesundaymonday_, or visit us online at www.thesundaymonday.co, where we have tons of articles and free resources designed to help you be bold in your faith, work, and life. Until next time, thanks so much for being here. Get back to work. I love you all. Bye.